This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. Lord, know that you are here with us. Lord, we are here because of what you've done for us through Jesus, your Son. We are here because of who you are, the living God. Lord, we pray that as you speak to us through your word, Lord, that we will be humble to receive it, to accept it, and to allow it to bring forth the life that it's purposed to do. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to actually quickly ask the mission team going to Ukraine, if you guys can quickly come forward. Johnny and Delesti has already left. They're already there preparing the way. But if Vian and Lisa and Christopher, I think my vrou is by Kinderkerk. You're not going to get her now. Sorry? Lisa too. Oh, shucks. Run. Go fetch them. Thanks, Christopher. I want us to pray for the team as we send them. I'm mindful of Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 10, that speaks of the power of sending people. And as a church, we are sending this team to preach, but also to advance God's kingdom. Romans 10 from verse 14 says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And that is really what we're doing this morning. We are sending a team, and Paul reveals a mystery that when we partner with those that we send, we also partner in their ministry and partner in their reward. And as a church, we are sending these individuals in the name of God, but with our heart and our support and our prayers. And I want us just to do that this morning as they come, eventually. So I want us to do something different this morning, just to really help us understand the power of sending somebody in our name, on our behalf, and partnering with them. So I want those that would like to pray for the team to quickly come forward. Anybody like to pray for the team? I want the rest of us to stand, and I want us to do something unusual. Forgive me, I don't do this normally, but if we can all just stand. Those who would like to pray, small group leaders, anybody, you can come forward. Just around the team, they will be here soon. I want us to do something as individuals are coming up to pray for the team. I want us all to move closer and touch someone in front of us until everybody is touching the team. Does it make sense? Okay, let's do that. Everyone, just come forward. Come out of your seats. The team will be here in a moment. But I want us all to come closer. And I want everybody to touch somebody as we touch somebody that is touching the team. So come make that cue. Everybody touch somebody. There we go. Everybody is touching somebody. And now we're just waiting for the team. Yes, come, Christopher, come. What do they say? They're ministering to the children. Okay, we'll stand proxy for them. We have the husband of two. Come, Christopher, you must stand here. There we go. We are sending. We are sending, and we are sending as part of us. And we'll be doing this every year, sending teams from us into the harvest field to bring God glory, to see His kingdom come and His will extend. And I want us just as individuals pray for this team, that we will with our hearts come in agreement and send with them. Just as you are, you can also pray where you are. but send us. Send us as individuals, as church, in His name. Pray for us, for our protection, yes, but that God will use us powerfully as we minister, as we engage, as He leads us to do His work. So will we do that just as we are standing? Let us pray for these individuals as others do so also.
Lord, thank You that we can bring our brothers and sisters before You this morning and pray for the blessing of Your Holy Spirit to lead them in power and in strength and in love, that when they speak the word, that Your power will go forth and that You will win the hearts of those that are lost, those that haven't seen the light yet, because You said, I am the light of the world, and they are going to carry forth Your light, Father. And I pray that You will bless them with all the spiritual blessings to fulfill their mission. Thank You, Father.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Please don't forget us. Thank you for everyone who has contributed so generously. Thank you for those who have been giving. All the expenses have been covered. We even had to turn some people away, so we have enough now. So thank you for giving. I love the generosity of the church. This morning I want to continue off with where I stopped last week. We shared around this concept that we are free to serve. And what does this mean, to be free to serve? We started off looking at Galatians 5 that says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So what does this mean to serve in our freedom? The fact that we are called to freedom, but not to use the freedom as we would want, but to use our freedom to serve one another in love. And we looked at the fact that our serving each other does not only make us great in the kingdom of God, but serving each other, we are actually serving Christ. So we read here in Mark chapter 9, as He sat down, He called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And then He took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when He had taken him in their arms, He said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little ones, these little children in My name, receives Me. And whoever receives Me receives not Me, but the one who sent Me." What a powerful word and a powerful mystery and revelation that when we serve, we are not just serving each other, we are serving Christ. And therefore, our love for God is expressed in our love for each other. But today I want to continue and I want to share what the Word of God says about us serving those who are outside of the church. Last week we looked about serving those inside the church and how powerful that is. This morning I want to share around God's heart concerning us serving those outside of the church, and especially serving in the workplace. Ephesians chapter 6 is a powerful book. The book of Ephesians, in chapter 6 we read something that is profound in our understanding of how God sees us in the world and how God desires us to live in the world, and especially in the workplace. It speaks here to slaves. It says here from verse 5, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." What a powerful statement. That word slaves, in the New King James, we read bond servants, but in Greek, It's dolos, which literally means slaves, voluntary or involuntary. So whether you voluntary or involuntary a slave, the Word of God says, I want you to obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would have obeyed Christ. Today, most of us have the privilege to be voluntary serving a master. Today, our employers are our masters that we choose to serve voluntarily. We are bond servants in that sense. We are voluntarily choosing to serve another for a reward. In the time Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, there were people that had no choice whether they had to serve or not, and they were not rewarded for them. Most of them were not paid as slaves. They didn't have a choice. But the will of God is that we ought to serve our masters, whether we are serving them voluntary or involuntary. We need to serve them not just in respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, but so powerfully the Word of God encourages us that we must serve our masters as if we are serving Christ. How much more does that apply to us today? Employees, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart as you would obey Christ. With respect, fear, and sincerity of heart as if you were to obey Christ. This is a profound statement. With that respect and sincerity, how do we obey Christ? What is the sincerity and respect that we obey Christ today? I think if we think about that, it is becoming more clear God's heart for us, but also the challenge that ultimately, if we allow the Word of God, if we accept it humbly and we allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, to change the way we think and to renew our minds, that it may change the way we live and do, if we are honest with ourselves and we allow the Word to do its work in us, the way we serve our earthly masters is a reflection of how we serve God. That is the will of God for us, is that we would serve our employers the way we serve Him, with the respect, the honor, and the sincerity that we serve Him. The way we serve our masters ought to reflect the way we serve Christ. It continues in verse 6, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. When we stand in our vocation, serving others, is it a reflection of our service and devotion to God? That's the Word of God for us today. That we ought to serve our masters. If we do not serve them with honor, respect, and sincerity in heart, is it a reflection on our service towards Christ? Or is it a reflection on our service towards man? The Word of God says there is no difference. Our serving our masters is a reflection of our serving God. This is a profound statement. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. It is the will of God that we serve our masters, our employers, as we serve Christ. Verse 7 continues, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. You see, God's heart for us is that we would serve not just one another as if we are serving Christ, that we would serve our employers, our masters, as if we are serving Him. As if you were serving the Lord and not people. If your boss, your headmaster, your CEO was Jesus, how would you serve Him? Imagine you're a teacher and your headmaster is Jesus Himself. Or you're a laborer in someone's garden. Or a plumber in a company. Or a businessman. Are we serving the way we are serving Christ? Or are we serving differently? God challenges us that as His children, we ought to serve our employers as we serve Him. How would you serve your headmaster, the CEO, your employer, if he was Jesus? Would we take extra care to be on time, to be diligent? Would we give more effort to be excellent in that what has been entrusted to us? Would we be more fervent in doing our utmost best because we are doing it for Him? Well, the Word of God encourages us that we should do the same to our earthly masters as if we are doing it to Him. God says we ought to serve our employers as if we are serving Him because, listen to this, He will reward us. God Himself will reward us. If we serve in a vocation as unto the Lord, whether in teaching, plumbing, or business, or commerce, I believe when we serve in a vocation as unto the Lord, we will become the best employers or the employees. We will become the best workers. We will become the best plumbers, the best teachers, the best gardeners, because we are not doing it for man. We are doing it as unto the Lord. And you know what? When you become diligent and fervent and give everything as unto the Lord, you will truly be the best teacher. And the world will see that, and your master will notice that, and you will be promoted and will be promoted and rewarded. But even if your earthly master do not, God says, I will reward you because you are doing it as unto me. And the same goes for those who are employers, the masters amongst us. That was last week's sermon. You can download that for free. But it says here in verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that He is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with Him. So even as masters, we are called to serve those who serve us. Like Jesus took off His garment as Lord and teacher and washed the feet of His disciples. And when He got back to that table, He said, you call me Lord, teacher, and rightfully so. But if I, your Lord and teacher, your master, have washed your feet, I've done it to set you example that you should also do this to one another. It's called servant leadership. I spoke to a friend this week. I had dinner with him, and he's a young man in the business world. And he has made a point to read all the best business books he could find to educate and equip himself to be more excellent in what he does. And he says he's so amazed that all these top business books all have Christian principles that they sell as secular. He says the more he reads these books, the more he's fascinated by the fact that these are all Christian principles. The concept of servant leadership. This is the new thing the past 5 years that the world discovered. Well, Jesus taught it right from the beginning. In Colossians, we read the same. It says, Colossians 3 verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you so that you can curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and in reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. The Word of God declares that when we serve each other, and when we serve our employers, our masters, we are serving Him. And He is the one that will reward us for the way we serve. It's profound. There is another reason we serve our employers as if we are serving Christ. In 1 Timothy 6 we read, let as many bondservants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemy. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. That's what I'm doing this morning. But I'm teaching and encouraging us all to allow the Word of God to penetrate our hearts, to humbly receive it and allow it to change the way we think, to renew our minds to such an extent that it will change the way we live so that God may receive the glory. Because imagine all Christians will serve in our workplaces as if we are serving the Lord. All Christians will be the best employees ever. We will become the best teachers, the best accountants, the best plumbers, the best gardeners. People will want to employ Christians because of their sincerity, their faithfulness, their integrity, their passion and their zeal in what they do, what they do. That is God's heart for His children. Somebody brought the word, it's so powerful. Because in being that, we will become the fragrance of Christ in this world. We will become the fragrance of Christ in this world. Titus says the following, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. To try and to please them, not talking back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about our God, the Savior, attractive. If we serve our masters as if we are serving the Lord, we will become the best servants. We will become the best employees. And God's name, God's doctrine, and the message of our Savior will become attractive. Who are these people that serve so faithfully, so passionately? Why are you so different? Well, it is because it is the will of my Father. It is His word. It is His teaching. Wow. I want to know more about this teaching. Who is this God? That's what God has called us to do. To live as light in the midst of the darkness, to become the fragrance of Christ. You know, my wife has a particular perfume now that I think of it. Whenever I smell that on the pillow, whether she's there or not, I'm reminded of her. Fortunately, there's not too many women with the same perfume. But even in her absence, when I lie in bed on the pillow, I can smell my wife, and it brings thoughts and images of her to my mind. God said, that's the way I want you to be, my children. I want you to be the fragrance of Christ in this world. Through the way you love each other, serve one another, and serve your masters. In serving your master as unto the Lord, you are serving Christ not just in person, but also in purpose. That His name, His doctrine, and the teaching about our God becomes attractive, and so we will become the best workers. You know, we're starting a project, Work for a Living. We sent Elizabeth to Port Elizabeth for a two-week course where she's equipped to become a trainer for the unemployed. So one of the programs that we're starting here is a program to equip unemployed people for the workplace and to teach basic ethics in workplace and to teach basic skills in the workplace, not just to make them employable, but to focus on the ethics of being a worker. And what is so interesting that when the people approached me as a church, the reason they approached us as a church, they are a Christian organization and all the teaching is based on the word and biblical principles. But the reason they approached the church to facilitate this program, they have realized that between 40 and 60% of those who go through the program actually get saved and they need to be discipled. So they've come to the conclusion they cannot do this course outside of the church, but it must be in and through the church. Because the people, the workers, when they're exposed to the principles, they themselves are changed and they get saved. So we're excited about this venture. But it is the will of God that we become the best workers. Now, we all know that some in the world will take advantage of our sincerity and integrity in our service. Yes, that is true. The world and some in it will abuse it. But Peter writes how we should live godly lives in a sinful world. He says in 1 Peter 2 from verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the empire as the supreme authority or to governors or who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is the will of God that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the empire." Now listen to this. "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in him. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he did not make threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Even when we suffer injustice because we are serving as unto the law, God says it is commendable because I will reward you. If you serve as unto me, I am the one who will reward you. If we serve our employers as unto the Lord, they are not our master. God is. And yes, they may reward us here or not, but my true master will indeed. That's the will of God for us as his children. I want to ask the ushers to serve us in communion. Therefore, we cannot lose heart to serve one another and to serve others, because in doing so, we become the fragrance of Christ. This is the will of God, that we serve each other in the church and outside of the church as unto him. And if we humbly accept God's word, allow this to shape our thinking, renew our minds, and ultimately change our actions, so that he may be glorified, that he may be exalted in every way, that the teaching about God and our Savior may become attractive to the world as they sense the fragrance of Christ in our serving them, and that he may receive all the glory. I want to end off with this one scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. As we wait for one another and we consider our true master's words, his will and his desire, I want us to take a moment and just reflect on the word of God as we wait for one another to participate in what God has given us through his Son. He indeed is our Savior, the one who redeemed us, the one that paid the price for us so that we may belong to him. He is indeed our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. And his will for us as his servants is not to use our freedom to do whatever we want, but to use our freedom to serve one another in love. Let us consider that as we consider his word. And I want us just to take this moment as we wait for one another, that we respond to God's word. Respond to what the Holy Spirit has been pressing on your heart as a servant, as an employee, as a master, as an employer. Even as those who are here with us who are unemployed, let us consider the word of God in our hearts. Let's just take a moment. the will of God for us. He set us free so that we can become like His Son, who came not to be served, but to serve, so that the Father may receive all the glory. That's what God has come to set us free for, that we may become like His Son, so that we may become, like the Word said, the fragrance of Christ in the way we serve each other and serve the world. I want us to consider this as employees this morning. There are three groups of people here this morning. There are those who are employees, who have work, who have masters, who have willingly submitted yourself to serve another. And I want us to consider if we are those. I want us for a moment just to consider how we are serving. How we are serving our masters. There are those here this morning that are masters themselves. We employ people. Let us consider how we serve our employees. And then there are those who are unemployed. I want us to first just, those who are employees, just want you to raise your hand. Those of you who serve masters, you know, just put it up high. Father, I thank You for these people. You can drop your hands. Lord, I thank You for these people. Lord, I thank You they are Your children, Your sons and Your daughters, Lord, that You have sent into this world. Lord, You have strategically scattered them in this community, in every sphere of influence, in education, in commerce, Lord, in homes, Lord. God, You have placed them in places where ministers cannot enter, are not welcome, never been, Lord. You've placed Your children there to be the fragrance of Christ, to be Your sons and daughters. Lord, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that You will anoint them to become the best teachers, the best plumbers, the best electricians, the best gardeners, the best domestic workers, Lord, the best engineers, the best accountants. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit that is within them, Lord, will rise up within them. Anoint them, Lord, as they serve not their masters, but they serve You. God, I pray that Your fragrance will permeate the workplaces, Lord, as they serve You in this place. I want to ask the masters to raise your hand. If you're here and you're a master, just raise your hand quickly. Father, I thank You for these masters, Lord. I thank You, God, that You have anointed them, Lord, that You have placed them in places of authority, Lord, that they may serve, God, that they may serve those that You have given unto them, Lord. I pray that You will bless their businesses, Lord, that they may gather more to serve, Lord. I pray that You will make them successful, Lord, in whatever they put their hand to, Lord, that You will bless them with more people, Lord. More that they influence, more that serve them, Lord, that they may become the fragrance of Christ in this town, Lord. Who of you are unemployed? You just raise your hand. The unemployed, Lord, I want to pray for those who are unemployed, Lord. I pray, God, that You will open doors for them, Lord. I pray that You'll give them a position in this town, Lord, to serve You, God, as a testimony, Lord, to serve You in person, but to serve You in purpose, Lord. I pray, Lord, as You open up doors, Lord, they will walk in with Your favor, God, because they are not serving man, they are serving You, Lord. I pray that they will put their trust in You, but that they will ask You, Lord, to become servants of You in this community, that You may be honored, that You may be praised. God, I pray for all of us, Lord, that what we do will bring honor to Your name, Your doctrine, and the teaching of You, that it will become attractive to this world in everything, in every way, in Jesus' name. God, we thank You. We can ask You this because of the price that You paid for our freedom, for our life. Lord, You gave Yourself to buy us back to Yourself, that we now no longer belong to the world, but we belong to You. What a privilege it is to say that I'm a bond servant of Christ. I don't belong to this world anymore. I have a new master, and it is God Himself who paid for my life. God, I pray that we will not forget the cost as we eat together. In Jesus' name. Lord, it is Your blood that seals us, that gives us life, that gives us confidence that we belong to You, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will give it honor in the way we serve. Lord, that we might honor Your name, honor Your reputation, that we might truly become the fragrance of Christ, that the purpose of Your sacrifice may be fully met in us, through us, as we love and serve one another. In Jesus' name, let us drink together. If you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to this God, it's an amazing God. It will change your life. It will cost you your life, but you will gain so much more. It's an upside down kingdom. It doesn't make sense in this world, but when you follow it, it will produce life, not just here, but for eternity. And if that is you this morning, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I would love to pray with you. I'm going to be here at the end. But for the rest of us, go in Jesus' name. Serve each other and the world as you are serving Christ, because He is your master and He will reward you, and you will become His fragrance, His message in this world. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.